off of that switch.
Staff? Brace for impact. Meeting will come to order. We are now holding a meeting of the Port of Astoria. I'd like to welcome everyone here this fine evening, our first meeting of 2020, January 7th at 5:30 p.m. And with that, we have the roll call.
Commissioner McLean.
Present.
Commissioner Spence.
Present.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
And Commissioner Rome.
Here. We'll start with the commissioner reports. Commissioner McLean.
Pledge allegiance.
Too efficient.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, gentlemen, for keeping me out of trouble. The commissioner reports, Commissioner McLean.
I attended Senator Wyden's town hall meeting last weekend, and there was some good discussion there. I also had a meeting with Kevin Leahy yesterday. I didn't have a meeting. I stopped in his office, so had a discussion. I've heard over the last 5 or 10 years the annual income from the cruise ships that concerns me. I think there's some, I've heard it started at 8 million and went to 13 and went to 17, and I heard 20 million. I've heard it, some people report that as, yes, the National Organization of Cruise Boat, whatever, survey their passengers and this is how much they spend. I discussed with Kevin the possibility of getting a organization of volunteers, whatever, working with the college or something, and it's less than, it's what, 30 hours old now?
Right.
On taking our own survey of our own cruise ship passengers upon their return, give them a little questionnaire, give them a gift bag in return. And Kevin's talking with David down at the chamber and whomever else Kevin wants to talk to about that, about getting raw statistics instead of, I've seen this number inflate, and I want raw statistics. So,
okay.
That's all I have to report.
Thank you. Commissioner Campbell.
I don't have anything to report right now.
Commissioner Spence.
Just as a comment to Commissioner McLean, whatever figure it is, it's good, and it's going to get better next year with a record number of ships coming in. And the cruise hosts are incorporated and we'll be glad to help any way that we can. I too attended the town hall meeting with Senator Wyden last Thursday. It was very interesting. He's very good at giving us an update on what's happening in Washington over and above the controversies. And I was fortunate to have my number drawn, so I was able to speak and ask a number of questions. But a number of times, he is the ranking member on the Senate Finance Committee. And he has been pushing for funds for infrastructure for bridges, roads, and ports. And he mentioned ports a number of times. Mm-hmm. And when I spoke, I thanked him and identified myself as a port commissioner. And I said, we certainly have needs for improving and upgrading our infrastructure also. And I said, most of our funds to date have come from the state due to the efforts of Senator Betsy Johnson, who was there. I said, but we could certainly use additional federal money. So he asked me to put together a letter of what we would like, if possible, for the to get additional funds from the federal government. So I will meet with our executive director and go over some points, and It doesn't hurt to ask for more money to help upgrade our infrastructure because the state can only go do so much, and we could need or use all the money we can get from the federal government, whatever. I did attend the City of Astoria Council meeting last night where they did approve the Fort George Enterprise Zone, and that is on our agenda. It will be addressed in detail about, since the port of Astoria is one of the four signatories on the final agreement. At the last commission meeting, Steve Thick asked that we consider levying a permit fee on charter boats that are picking up people off of our docks. And I think there was an indication that we should do it. I don't know if a timeline or Mr. Isom, whether that can be done administratively or included in a tariff or determining what the fee might be. I would hope you move forward with that before the season begins on the fishing activities and the charter boat activities. I had mentioned that in the during Boy 10, I had happened to be sitting here at a meeting and watching the numerous charter boats and guide boats coming in and fueling at our docks. Yes, they're making money there, but picking up passengers, the very few fuel. But what I noticed is that our workers, employees that were manning the gas pumps, were in their civilian clothes. And if that's true, they man the gas pumps just like at Safeway or Fred Meyer's. And I believe that the port should be providing them with coveralls or uniforms to protect them in handling gas and oil. So if we that's do, not in our budget, I'd like to see
them. We do furnish them.
Do we? Do we furnish uniforms? They,
yep.
They weren't wearing.
Yeah,
for low professional appearance. And Mr. Chairman, I'll make a comment, save a comment for number 12 upcoming meeting dates. That's all I have.
Thank you.
In response to the infrastructure, but in case you're not interested, right now there's $300 million going into these jetties out here. So that's that infrastructure fund they're talking about. The first jetty, the North Jetty, has been completed. It was completed last month. And the South Jetty is underway now, and that's $150 million plus for that one. So that is the infrastructure port money that's coming this direction.
Good. And I think that's also on account of Senator Wyden's efforts as a county commissioner. 5 or 6 years ago, I was part of a delegation that Senator Wyden had to the South Jetty.
They did them both this year. Or they're both under construction.
Yeah.
The north one is complete.
As far as before it ever, yeah, the work got underway. But excellent point. Commissioner Stevens.
Everybody, welcome, Rugby. I do have a few people made it tonight with our late start. See if that works. I celebrated the holidays and family time. Additionally, there's a new sheriff in town, and managed to attend the changeover between Tom Bergen and our new sheriff, Matthew Phillips. I was very proud to see Chief Yelton there. Our chief of security, Rick Yelton, in uniform. And he sat along with the other uniformed police agencies and security agencies. It was good showing for the port to have him there. If you didn't go, you missed a good party the day after at the Olney Tavern, Tom Bergen's farewell. So I have a report.
Thank you. I don't have anything to add, so we'll move on. Are there any changes or additions to the agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on to public comment. I guess, an adoption of the agenda. Can I get a motion to adopt the agenda?
So moved.
For a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the agenda. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Agenda is adopted. Public comments section. I don't have any public comment cards. The consent calendar, which are the meeting minutes, and also financials of November 2019. Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar?
So moved. Second.
Been moved and Commissioner Stevens.
Just discussion. Quickly, I'm sorry. It's good to see that we're catching up on the minutes here, Director.
Yes.
It's
yes.
Real nice to see.
It's been noted that yeah, we're catching up on the minutes. We're adopting the minutes of November 5th, November 19th, and December 3rd. So,
Chairman, one note I would like to make about the financials. I know there's been a lot of talk out there, obviously, about some of the revenue shortfalls we have this year, particularly regarding the log export market. I do think in looking at the financials, it is important to point out that to date, our overall operating revenue is at 93% of what we budgeted, and our operating expenses are at 89% of budget. And so our total operational profitability is actually almost right on budget. We're actually $16,000 ahead of budget in terms of operating revenue versus expense. And so I think that's something that our staff is to be applauded for, that through kind of these rough times, we've found ways to cut costs and sort of piece this thing together and survive while we go through this sort of rough period in terms of revenues coming off Pier 1.
Yeah, I think that's very notable that we're on track despite some major setbacks. So thank you for that.
If I may, I would like to thank Mr. Isom for ensuring the timely signing of his new contract, which if it would have happened like 3 days later or something like that, would have cost us another installment. I want to thank you for looking out after the big picture instead of your own pocket for that.
Thank you.
With that, we have a motion and a second to approve the consent calendar. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Consent calendar is approved. Our next item is advisory. No action is required. This is a Sundial Travel Commercial Lease Agreement. Executive Director Isom.
Yeah, so in your packets, Commissioners, you do have an executed agreement with Sundial Travel for the space in this building downstairs in Suite 104. As Commissioner Rohn stated, this is not something per our bylaws that needs to go in front of the commission or would need approval. I did think it was important just from a transparency standpoint, based on the recent ethics investigation and things like that that have gone on, that we did make this public and publicly announced that we had signed a new agreement with Sundial. The staff member, Sue Tranzu, our Director of Commercial Services, who worked on this, is actually out today sick, and so she had planned to come here and talk about this, but in her absence, I'll hit just a few of the highlights. One of the things that was brought about by the ethics investigation and our work with our attorney to make sure that the various relationships that the port had previously with Bruce Connor and Sundial Travel, we need to make sure that we clearly delineate when he is acting as an agent of the port in terms of his professional services contract versus as a tour operator with Sundial Travel, and then also he has a relationship with the Clatsop cruise host. And so this new lease, there's a few things that change in here, but one of the major changes is previous, Bruce had rented the space downstairs with additional space that he shared with the Clatsop cruise host, and because of that, he was paying a less than market rate. And so through this new lease, we've completely separated what's for the Clatsop cruise host versus Sundial Travel. And so the new lease space is, it's a little bit smaller, but the per foot rate is more. It's now $1.70 which is in line with other spaces that are similar to Suite 104. Additionally, this lease is it's a month-to-month lease. Either party can terminate within 30 days, so it's a short-term lease. And I think the total lease amount per month is $345. So again, this is just something I wanted to bring out and make sure it was in public and the commission and the public were aware of this new agreement in place with Sundial Travel.
Are there any questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move on to our next section, which is the action items from the airport, Gary Coves. We're talking about a 2020 FAA grant.
Can you hear me okay?
No.
It's because
you can grab the microphone if you want.
Okay, the request you have before you is for a motion to set aside funds in a future fiscal year for grant match purposes. The FAA is prepared to offer a $3,300,000 discretionary grant and a $150,000 non-primary entitlement grant for a total of $3,450,000 for apron rehabilitation at the airport. That grant will be offered this fiscal year, probably sometime in the month of August. And because of the nature of the project and the time when the grant award is made, it's going to be too late in the season to start, so the work would fall into what for us would be the 2022 fiscal year. And so we're in a position of looking at the grant offer and attempting to make a decision, spending future fiscal money. And the amount that we would have to agree to spend at this point at sometime in late 2021, which would be our fiscal 22, is $233,000. And we would have to, in order to be eligible for the grant, we have to have a hard bid by July 1st of this year, which means we need to advance the design work. And so we have about 4 or 5 months to get that work done, get the plans on the street, and get a firm bid to submit to the FAA. And the estimated cost of that design work is between $90,000 and $100,000. And it would not be billed out until the grant was opened, so it would be later this fiscal year. Or actually, it would be in next fiscal year. But it'd be chargeable against this fiscal year budget. But we have capacity in there because we're not spending the amount that we had budgeted. Some of that's going over into next year, and we'll have to account for that in the budgeting process.
Would that engineering come out of the our matching funds?
It'll come out of the total grant fund. Our share of that would be less than 10%.
Okay.
So my understanding, this we're committing ourselves to matching funds, and in return, we're gaining $3.6 million for work on the apron, which is kind of the last major project of a series of major projects at the airport. Our concerns are usually fiscally related with that. Will, you want to speak to that?
So I guess I don't have any immediate answers for directly how we're going to pay for this. As Gary said, there'll be a planning engineering phase that will take place for us for fiscal year 21. And then the actual construction and when we'll have to come up with most of the money will be fiscal year 22. I think there's a bigger discussion to be had going forward on sort of the business model of the airport and what that looks like. I do think, however, that at this point, with all of the construction to taxiways and ramps that we've done over the last few years, It is important that we sort of finish off the project and get the apron repaired. And I think this is just something we have to figure out through the budgeting process, not this year, but the following year, of how we're going to sort of work this in the budget. Obviously, by then, we're going to know if we've received the $150,000 grant match from the Oregon Department of Aviation. And so my recommendation is, at this point, even if we're not completely sure about how we're going to pay for it, I do think it would be wise to move forward with this as sort of the last step in getting through these FAA projects.
It is going to cross two budget seasons, right?
That's actually advantageous.
This is pretty typical of how these work. Yeah. Typically, you have a sort of a planning engineering year, and then construction takes place the following year. Sometimes we do run into some issues in that our fiscal year doesn't follow the federal fiscal year, which runs through September. And so oftentimes we don't know, depending on weather, if some of that construction is going to be able to start in June or July, which from a construction standpoint may not matter much, but from a budgeting fiscal standpoint, it's a huge difference because it spans fiscal years. So we do run into those issues once in a while, but I think this is something we'll just have to work into the budget process for 22.
This is an instance, I believe, where time is on our side. So that's the best news, I think, about this scenario. The $3.6 million.
The $150,000 state matching grant should be awarded February 11th.
Of this year?
Of this year.
So the action required is the authorize the preparation of construction and bidding documents by Precision Approach Engineering in the current fiscal year. That's number one. Number two, commit to expending $233,333 of port funds in a future fiscal year of 2022. Somebody make that motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any additional discussion or questions?
One additional thing that I think is important to note is we do currently have a special reserve set aside fund that has roughly $900,000 in it. So if for some reason in the 2022 budget session we can't find a way to sort of work this into the operational budget, the commission would have the option, those funds are at the discretion of the commission, to use some of that funding for something like this, which may be a good decision if this isn't something that we can get out of our budget.
I think the opportunity of $3.6 million of federal funds to meet our needs, our community and our region's needs, is something we can't pass up. So, Commissioner Stevens?
Gary, there's another attachment about Port of Astoria regional airport role in the community. Are you going to get into that tonight?
It was not my intent.
Okay.
I provided that mostly as background to help you consider the decision.
Correct. Okay, thank you. And I think it's important for the commission to look at that and recognize that the airport is much more of a provider than two private airplanes that are hangared there. The airport really is not a flying club. This is a part of the Port of Astoria that helps sustain the community. And if you look over those figures and research that the airport manager did for us, I think that impact will dawn on you. And if you haven't visited the airport and taken a tour with the airport manager, I encourage you to do that, so that you can see the condition of the runways, taxiways, and the apron. We are obligated to maintain that airport far beyond our own local need. And I'm saying that because in doing some of the background for other items that are going to be coming up, I was able to read some information that I got from the manager on how the FAA views our airport and our maintenance programs. And it's very eye-opening in terms of how the FAA considers it our responsibility to maintain the airport. That's all I have.
To Commissioner Stevens' point, under the background information provided, the Astoria Airport with direct payroll provides $22 million to the community, and airport direct and indirect sales or economic output, $73 million. There's a lot of great numbers and information. Are there any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Thank you, Gary. Our next item is a Fort George Enterprise Zone abatement. Here this evening we have Kevin Leahy of Cedar, Class of Economic Development Resources, and Melanie Olson of Business Oregon, and Chris Nimowell of Fort George, Big Beams LLC. So I'll hand the floor over to Kevin.
Thank you, Sheriff Rohde. Good evening, Commissioners. Kevin Leahy, Director of Cedar and the Clatsop Community College Small Business Development Center. We had a work session back on April 24th with Commissioner Spence and McLean were in attendance, and the other participants in the Enterprise Zone to review an overview of the Enterprise Zone. And I know since that time that Director Isom has shared with all of the commissioners and the other parties the information from that particular session. And we're here tonight to ask for the approval of the agreement for the long-term rural Enterprise Zone abatement. And just some background again, that we have four partners. This is a very exciting process. This is our first project, major project. In the Enterprise Zone, I've been the Enterprise Zone manager now since it was formed 3 years ago. And we're excited about the opportunity to have the economic growth that this project will bring. I wanted to share, obviously Chris is here as the owner of Big Beams to answer any questions, and Melanie from Business Oregon. But I thought with your permission, I would just go through the abatement, if that's,
please.
Does that work? Okay. So on the abatement that you have before you, we have the legal overviews here about the different parties, obviously Clatsop County, Port of Astoria, City of Warrenton, and the City of Astoria. And I wanted to go through on the exemption number one and number two, but I wanted to go through the specifics in number four here, which are the obligations of Big Beams, and which is what we're here to discuss. The other portions, again, happy to answer questions from Melanie. This is pretty well a template kind of a process here on the initial parts, but the important things here on the obligations of Big Beams. The minimum facility investment of $12.5 million. So in order to apply for the 15-year long-term abatement, that's the benchmark number in terms of the investment, property, and et cetera, from Big Beams. And I mentioned last night at the Astoria City Council meeting, this is a very big deal, because not many rural areas have this kind of investment, specifically from a homegrown business to talk about. The minimum employment is Big Beams will hire and continue to employ at least 35 full-time employees at the facility that we're talking about by the end of the third calendar year. And we did some numbers here. You know, we always talk about our wages here in Clatsop County. We are at 71% of the state average here in Clatsop County, $37,878, 71%. The Oregon average is $53,000. This is on as of 2018. With Big Beams, with 130%, which is the percentage that they need to be paying the salaries at this facility, the 130% would be at $49,241, which is 93% of the state average. You know, we talk a lot, all of us are dealing with issues with housing and things, and it's just great to just see what we'd call family wage jobs as part of this discussion this evening. And then the community benefit I wanted to talk to, has been very actively involved with that with the four partners. There is when you have this kind of investment, the deferment side of things, there's a discussion about what is the community benefit. And meeting with Director Isom and the other parties, City Manager Estes, City Manager Egbertson, and County Manager Don Boone, we discussed the different opportunities that would benefit the whole region. And what we are proposing, I've been, you know, the beauty of the roles that I have here in the county is the hats that I wear, I'm also on the cabinet at Clatsop Community College, reporting directly to President Chris Breitmeyer, who could not be here this evening. He sends his apologies. But a community benefit, the growth that we've had in the fermentation and craft brewing and distillery industry here in Clatsop County has been phenomenal. You know, from the Cedar perspective, each of our breweries have won awards over the years at Cedar Awards. Most of you have attended those. And so the discussion was, how could Fort George partner with the college to build a program? And that's what's noted here in this evening's information here. So a community benefit, the Big Beams will partner with Clatsop Community College to develop a potential fermentation science transfer program with Oregon State University. I'm the chairman of the Extension Citizens Advisory Network through OSU Extension for the state of Oregon, and work very closely, as many of us do, with Oregon State folks. And they're going to be up here. Jeff Sherman, who is the OSU Open Campus Director, will be coming up this month to meet with Chris Breitmeyer and with the academic team at the college and myself to talk about how we can work on this alliance with Oregon State on this potential fermentation science program. We also, Chris Breitmeyer, hosted along with myself a meeting that Chris Nemlowill was, of course, in attendance, and the other craft brewers and distilleries from around the region here, as far south as Pelican, and then our Astoria partners up here, and talked about what are their needs. You know, what do they need from the college? The college, you know, being a jewel here in our area, like, what would they be looking for? So we had a discussion with them, and that's also an action point from what's listed here. We're having a follow-up meeting with the representatives of these companies in February. And again, I'm not going to read it line by line here, but experiential learning, hands-on experience, integrating internship opportunities through Clatsop County sector businesses. As you know, I'm also the director of our Clatsop Works internship program, which is very successful, with Ryan Stanley as our coordinator. And Chris, we're talking the excitement about working with that program and opportunities on the internship with our high school students and also with our college students to be working hands-on, not just with Fort George, but with the other craft brewers. It's interesting that you look at this sector and you look at the internship opportunity. We've really set some benchmarks here in that progress that we've had here the last 2 to 3 years and growing with that. So I bring it up also because you also have the tax tables, I believe, for the Port of Astoria, for example, what the taxes that will be collected over that 15-year deferment period are $6,300. That's existing, not going to be touched. What we're talking about this evening is $3,700. That's the exempted property taxes that the port basically would give up over a 15-year period, $3,700 out of the total $607,000. The lion's share of the exemptions is the city of Astoria and the Astoria School District. And I work very closely with Superintendent Craig Hoppus on many, many things, as you all do also. But he also mentioned that the importance from his perspective, because it's the school districts that are funding our internship program with Measure $98. And that's where the internship is so important to tie in what we're doing currently and then taking it to the next level opportunity. And again, tell me if I'm going on too much detail here. And then specific courses related to craft brewery fermentation lab courses, et cetera, et cetera. So again, in talking with the partners, very, very excited about that. And that's the community benefit that is being proposed. And this evening, what we are asking is for your, obviously, discussion, questions, and approval. We went before the Astoria City Council last night and got unanimous support. Tonight, obviously, we're in front of the port. And then I will be, along with Chris and Melanie, going before the Clatsop County Commission on January 22nd and the Warrenton City Commission on January 28th. And once the hopeful approval from the four bodies, then it comes back to the city of Astoria and Clatsop County for the final resolution, and then we move forward. Fort George has lived up to the expectations. They submitted the application with myself as the enterprise zone manager. I have that. I've been working with Melanie very closely and with Art Fish, who is the guru of enterprise zones here in the state. So that's the overview about what we're here to ask for the approval of this evening. Is there any questions that that I can answer that I've not covered that, or Chris or...
I'd like to hear from Chris and Melanie if they'd like to address.
That would be great.
Please.
Love that.
Thank you for coming and...
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to apologize. I've never been to a Port Commission meeting, and I
You're
was excited to see.
You're invited back anytime.
I'm enjoying it. Thank you very much. So, I grew up in Astoria, and fortunately, I went off to college at Southern Oregon University. I was supposed to go work for Intel, and kind of just decided that it wasn't the job for me. I called up my parents about three days after I graduated, and decided I wanted to move back into their basement and brew beer and go back to my coffee job out in front of Mini Mart. There was a little kiosk there. Started handing out beer and getting feedback, and moved to Europe, where I studied abroad in international marketing. Did that for 6 months, but really set it up so I only had to go to school on Mondays and Tuesdays, and I went to beer events and breweries for 6 months. Came back, and the guy that was making the best beer that I'd ever had was down at Bill's Tavern in Cannon Beach, and took him some of the beer that I'd brewed in my parents' basement, and said, hey, I want to come work for you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll work for free. And they ended up hiring me for 9 months. We won some medals. We made the best American Pale Ale according to the Great American Beer Festival in 2005. Got offered the head brewer job at the Astoria Brewing Company. Took that for another 9 months and was introduced to Robert Strickland, who bought the Lovell property. Just fell in love with the buildings down there. And we opened in March of 2007 with 8 employees. We now have 150 employees, and we were really, really honored to have the opportunity to purchase the old American can facility. It feels like it's meant to be for a brewery to go in there and start canning beer again, shipping it out of here to Pacific Northwest, and appreciate the opportunity for this. We're looking to create some more jobs and do some really cool things and clean up that property. So. Do you guys have any questions for me?
Are you going to be bringing in or buying new, larger fermentation tanks, or are you going to be moving some out of your current site?
We're planning on moving some of the tanks, the fermentation tanks, out of the Lovell building, but we want to keep the majority of the brewery that's there intact, because we want to be able to kind of make that an area where we can make more variety. One of the first beers that we ever canned was 1811 Lager. And it takes about 6 weeks to make that beer. So as we've grown our IPAs that are very popular, they take about 3 to 4 weeks to make. We've had to really kind of stop making our lager series, and we're really excited to be able to bring back some of that variety that we used to do before we were quite so busy. So we're planning on leaving the majority of the brewing equipment that's in the Lovell building there, and then getting a new canning line. We bought Bridgeport's old equipment that they auctioned off after they went out of business. So we're planning on getting that back up and running. And we'd love to have cans of beer coming out of the old American Can Company building by the end of the year is our goal.
Are you going to have something similar, a food operation?
Overlooking
the water, it's a beautiful sight. You can't beat it.
Absolutely gorgeous. And we don't have that in our budget right now, but we would like to have a tap room down there at some point. We will have a small retail aspect where we will just do dock sales, probably do some keg sales to go. But at some point, we would love to have a tap room down there. That's definitely one of our goals in the next couple of years.
Commissioner Stevens, you have a question or comment?
Negative.
Any other commissioners?
Get your oil spill cleaned up?
We're working on it. Right now, we've done some test drilling, and they've rigged up a little system to flush it. Fortunately, it is all dredge spoil, so it's helpful when you're trying to clean it up. Basically, you blow oxygen through the soil, and it allows the petroleum to be degraded. So it looks like it's going to be pretty easy to clean up. Hopefully, it'll be easier than we anticipated. We'll see, we're working on it right now.
Okay, Melanie, would you like to share with the commission and the public?
Good evening, Melanie Olson with Business Oregon. So I want to just emphasize a point that Kevin made, in that through this tax abatement, you're not giving up revenues. You will continue, if approved, you will continue to receive the revenues that you have been receiving in the past. What you will be doing is helping Chris improve his cash flow spreadsheet and mitigate some of the risks associated with investing in that property. And hopefully through the deferment, he'll be able to continue to invest back into that property and create the jobs and maybe build that tap room that is desired out at that particular property. In addition to the total compensation that is required by Fort George and the 35 new jobs, he also has to invest $12.5 million into that property to qualify for the abatement. Within that $12.5 million, the purchase price is included in that. But you don't see projects like this in rural areas. There's actually been very few across the state. And when we were looking at examples of written agreements to share, there were only a couple, and most of those were for big data centers out in eastern Oregon. So the fact that we have a local homegrown company that's interested in investing back in the local community, I think is really cool. And we're here to help help him be successful. So be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Commissioners, thank you very much for coming. Appreciate your work on behalf of our community. Executive Director Isom, do you have any perspective on the proposal?
So I guess I would just say that it has been it's been good to work on this project. I obviously came into this a little bit late. I was not part of the original development of the Class of Enterprise Zone, but it is good to see that program is being taken advantage of. And I know in meetings we've had with the various managers of the governing bodies, it's been really productive and a good chance to sort of have a project we could all work together on. And so I had quite a few questions as we started this process, and we were able to work through a lot of those. And so I do think this is exciting and sort of hope for the best going forward.
With that, I'd open the floor for a motion to approval of the agreement for long-term rural enterprise zone abatement.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
The motion has been made and seconded. Any other discussion or comments? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, and appreciate everyone's hard work and opportunity to mitigate risk and drive employment in our community in a manner that respects the traditions and the values of our community. It's a rare win for everyone, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Melody, we want to ask you about the strategic plan status.
Okay, I'll be back.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
See you later.
With that, public comment for non-agenda items. We have any public comment cards? Executive Director Isom, do you have any comments?
Just a few items that I have here. I had announced that at a prior meeting that we had two job postings we were looking at hiring. The first one was for a part-time administrative assistant to not only work down at the port office, but also out at the airport. And so we have brought that person on staff. Her name is Kristen Inskeep, and she'll, like I said, be working predominantly at the airport, but also filling in for breaks and vacations at the front desk at the port. She comes to the port with a lot of experience in retail, real estate, restaurants. She actually lives across the river, so we're definitely happy to have her. And you may have saw also, we do have a posting up for a finance position. We've posted that on our website in the Daily Astoria, and we've also posted it through special districts as well as online on Indeed, which we've had pretty good success with in the past of getting quite a lot of responses. So that got posted as of last week, and we've already started to see some resumes and applications roll in, and so I'm hoping to get that position filled soon. Additionally, next Wednesday will be the first meeting of the new finance committee. We'll have that meeting at noon, and sort of like we've done in the past with budget committee meetings, we'll be providing lunch for the members of the committee. And just as a reminder, the commissioners are definitely invited, but as far as the composition of the committee, we have the five citizen members as well as the treasurer, Commissioner Campbell, who's a part of the committee, as well as the head of finance for the port, which is currently myself, and maybe transitioning to the new person once we get them hired. And so I think the idea at the first meeting will be to convene the group and start sort of with a base document, which in my mind is the finance policies. Those are something that the port had originally worked on putting a draft together back in 2015-16, but it never got approval from the commission for those. That was at a time the commission was working on completing the bylaws, and there was a desire from the commission to complete the bylaws before we instituted any sort of financial policies. And so I thought a logical place to start for that group would be looking at financial policies and getting a recommendation that would move forward to the commission. And that would be sort of the base document for a lot of other decisions that the committee would be involved with moving forward. So that's exciting. The other thing, as you're aware, Special Districts has their meeting in Seaside coming up February 6th through the 8th. And at this point, the commission is all registered for the training, which occurs on that Thursday, February 6th. It's an all-day training. And so that will be good to have the commission involved with that, as well as some of our management staff. I did get an update from Business Oregon. I had a chance today to meet the new Oregon Ports Manager, Stephanie Prival. She came with Melanie to Astoria today and met with Matt and I for several hours, and we talked through a number of different issues. It was good to finally get a chance to meet her. I had communicated with her through email and telephone, but we had never actually met. And so a big topic of that meeting had to do with the strategic plan and where we're at with that. And so the plan at this point would be for both Stephanie and the new director, Chris Cummings of Business Oregon, to be here February 4th to give a presentation to the commission on the strategic plan. And so this is something obviously we're hoping to get sooner, but I think there's been some delays with some of the transition that's happened at Business Oregon. And so they're planning to have their notes completed, and we'll be meeting with them, our staff, between now and then to sort of review their notes and make sure that we have a pretty consolidated presentation ready to go for the commission. But the plan is for them to be out here February 4th. I think that concludes my comments.
Thank you. Commissioner Stevens.
Director, I just want to confirm that's the 15th at noon for the Finance Committee meeting?
Yep.
Yep, January 15th, noon. Yep.
Okay.
For the Finance Committee.
All righty. And just a follow-up on the strategic plan, did you get any indication on whether or not there's going to be major items to be discussed from Stephanie or Melanie, or anything that they are going to need revised? Are they pretty happy with it as is?
Yeah, so I think part of the reason for the delay and why we are at where we are is whenever there's turnover and a new person in a position like the Oregon Ports Manager, and you have a different set of eyes looking at the document, you obviously bring in a different set of views on what should or shouldn't be in the document. And so that was really some of the benefit of today's meeting, as we had a chance to really walk Stephanie through the history of the document, through a lot of the work that the port did in terms of public outreach, and how Mary had not only got feedback from the port and the commission, but this was a pretty widespread document in terms of the feedback sources from various stakeholders. There were some comments about, from her perspective, that it wasn't a real great read in terms of just reading the thing front to back, and she could sense maybe some of the different voices that were coming through in the document. But we indicated to her that part of that was purposeful. This idea that this document wasn't simply driven by our admin staff or the commission, but there were a lot of stakeholders who had input in this. And so that's why, you know, as just a reader trying to look at this thing like it's a novel, it may not read like you would want it to. And so One of the things I think that our staff is going to work with between now and February 4th is really looking at, you know, this large document. And from Stephanie's perspective, I think what she wants to do is have us lock in on, you know, we've laid all this stuff out, but what are the key items that you guys want to accomplish, and what kind of timeline do you want to do those? You know, parts of the, just by the nature of a plan, some parts of the strategic plan could be viewed as a little bit vague or not real concrete. There's a lot of steps in there that involve, you know, evaluation of a property or looking into the possibility of certain things happening. And I think that from her, she has like an administrative legal background, and so I think she's more of a detail person. And so I think that's, if there's going to be any changes, it will be sort of locking in some of those key points that we want to hit, and making sure that they're maybe not quite as vague or spread out through the document. They're kind of front and center. And so I think as a staff, we're on board with that. But it could take some work between now and February 4th. But I think we did a good job of conveying to them the fact that, you know, we really put in a lot of work over the summer to sort of get this thing done quickly and move this thing forward. And so we don't want to have this thing hang out there for a long time. I think as an organization, we kind of want to move past this and start on the implementation phase. And so there is some urgency there to get this thing done, get the IGA in place, and start moving on these things.
Well, I certainly agree that I hate to hear a forecast of a possible iterative process beginning all over again.
Yeah, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'd like to argue that it's a living document, and once we've met with, hopefully we attain state approval, then that document is something that we use and update twice a year, if not more, you know, as we move through time. So.
Okay, thank you.
With thank you, Executive Director. Upcoming meeting dates, I think Commissioner Spence wanted to make a comment.
Yes, isn't our next meeting the third Tuesday, January 21st? Not listed here.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, so per the new bylaws that, or the bylaw change that you guys had approved last month, the first Tuesday of the month is the required 5:30 meeting that will occur every month. And then the third Tuesday would be at the option of the commission chair if we're having a meeting on that date. And so I took from that we'll schedule out every first Tuesday, and then if we hear from the commissioner, I can work with Commissioner Roan on that. If we need to have a meeting on that third Tuesday, we can convene, and I think the idea was that would be at 4 o'clock if we have that meeting. If you'd rather that those appear on the calendar at maybe as tentative or optional, we could put it on there. I guess the question, at some point, there has to be a deadline of when we make the decision on whether we're going to meet that time or not.
I think it's fine the way it is, and I'd argue that, you know, the commission, I think we want to move the board forward, and if a delay would hamper that, then we would want to meet, and then if it's not necessary, then we can wait. So that's
Mr. Chairman, I respectfully disagree. The city of Astoria meets every twice a month. The county commission meets twice a month. The Warrington commission meets twice a month. There's too much going on for us to just be meeting once a month. I believe that doing that, we're almost abdicating our responsibility of oversight on keeping up to dates. The things, activities are happening. How do we get briefed? I have not seen or heard airport minutes for almost a year, and yet I, as a commissioner, responsible for what's happening at the airport, and I need to know. So these reports are important for all of us to hear from the executive director and financial report and activities. And we've for years, since all the years I've been here, there's been two meetings a month, and I, for one, want to continue the schedule two meetings a month, the first and third Tuesdays.
I I agree with you with one little change, and I think we should get the time set in concrete so that the...
It is.
It's transparent with the public because they get used, you know, it's just...
What they say is...
You can't be bouncing around on your times.
This one's at 5:30 and this one's at 4.
That's what we discussed.
I know, but I don't think that's right. I think they should be...
If...
They should be set at the same time so that...
Okay.
I mean,
habits.
If you want to talk about meeting times, a lot of different organizations meet at, you know, they can meet in the morning, you can meet at 9:30, and some county used to meet at night, so I don't agree. I think that's, I don't want to waste staff time. You know, it takes a lot of time and effort to prepare for a meeting. If we need a meeting, we should absolutely have a meeting, but I don't want to have a meeting for a meeting's sake, so.
I think 30 days is too long. I think we need... He's a conductor of business twice a month.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to respectfully agree with the other two commissioners. I'd like to see a meeting in a couple of weeks. I'll just throw out a couple of things I jotted down here quickly. GIS update, status of raising airport fees, the status of our Western recovery project that we got going with our senator, our federal senator, Wyden. You know, they came and visited and looked all over our peers and everything. We walked all around with them, and I'd like to know if that's going to be a good source of funding for us. We talked about parking fees from the suggestion. I've gotten together with our security officer, Chief Yelton, and the marina manager on how we could possibly work that out. Didn't get a direct answer. It's going to have to take staff time, I'm sure, to see if that is feasible. And Wi-Fi at our marina, I don't have an answer to that yet, and we've discussed that at every marina meeting for about 2 years. We talked about getting sort of a handle on how the port makes money on cruise ships. We know it's good for the community. It's a great thing. We're doing a good service by hosting all these cruise ships, and it just keeps building and building. Where does the port stand on profit and loss with that? And last, our old favorite is AOC4. I think we got plenty to do.
All right, all that is noted for the record. And with that, our next meeting, unless we need to schedule another meeting, will be February 4th at 5:30. And the meeting is...
With the what you've heard, the three of us would like the next meeting to be January 21st.
I'll discuss that with the executive director. I believe that's my role to determine. Am I mistaken?
Really? He said it's in the bylaws. I don't recall that you now decide when we're going to meet or not meet, when the majority of the commissioners feel that we ought to be meeting this.
I'll take this that into account, but there was no...
Okay. If you have the power, that's the power of the gavel.
Mr. Meeting President. Is adjourned.
And I've been there and I used it too.
Thank you guys for your time. I really appreciate it.
Good to see you, Pat.
Thank you. Thanks for coming. Proof is in the pudding and you came. So.